Welcome into a special episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you all had a great week or weekend wherever and however you may be listening to us across our great country or our great land. My name is Will Highland. It is April 22nd, 2024, Earth Day, Monday morning. Hope you all had a great weekend. Like I said, Earth Day, April 22nd, and the best sport on earth is still playoff hockey. We'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk about the Celtics' big win on Sunday afternoon against the Miami Heat, 114-94. Complete domination the first three quarters. I mean, the only reason it was a 20-point game even was because Miami scored 35 in the fourth. Right? I mean, beyond that, Celtics did whatever they wanted to do. At one point, they were up 30-something. Right, like it was unbelievable. It really wasn't unbelievable if you were familiar with how the Celtics team has played in stretches this season. They've been the most dominant team in the Eastern Conference all season, and, you know, that didn't change this afternoon, despite some question marks heading into the postseason. They were phenomenal today. Or I'm recording on Sunday. Spoiler alert. But they were phenomenal on Sunday afternoon. You know, a casual 20 points from Derek White, 23 points from Jason Tatum, 18 from Porzingis, 17 from Brown. That's a well-rounded, full force effort from their starting five, including even Holiday, who added 7 rebounds of his own in addition to 6 points and was plus 13 on the floor. You know, elsewhere, I mean, off the bench, Pritchard, 2 of 5 from 3, casual. Sam Hauser, nice, you know, 12-point showing. This Celtics team is deep, and they played strong, and they didn't cave to some of the pressure that was on them from years past against Miami. It's only one game, right? You know, these series in the playoffs go a long way, but there's a reason why they were 37-4 in the regular season at home. I mean, they looked comfortable on Sunday afternoon. They didn't seem fazed by the pressure that's on them to win. I think if you ask any Celtics fan on the street, they'd say, yeah. Gotta make the NBA Finals. And that journey started Sunday afternoon, and Celtics didn't look fazed by such pressure. In fact, I think they relished in it. Especially Derek White, who wants to get paid someday, right? That's where money is made, is in the postseason. And if you're a Celtics fan, I'm a casual one, you got to feel pretty good going into game two, considering how good this team has been at home all year long, including Sunday afternoon. All right, elsewhere in the NBA, kind of a quiet Sunday in the NBA, despite it being the playoffs, which is weird. You had the Mavs fall to the Clippers 109-97. Doncic with 33 points, Harden with 28. Good old classic slugfest out there in LA. And it was the Clippers who came away with the win, a 12-point win. I'm recording before the Pelicans and the Thunder tip off at 9:30 and the Pacers and Bucks at 7 p.m. So maybe that's why my bias is telling me it feels quiet. There's only been 2 out of 4 games. So if you're listening throughout the week, which you will be, you'll know the results of those games. But I digress. The big news of the weekend, especially in these parts in the NBA front, is that the Celtics got off to a really strong start. Speaking of really strong starts, all right, their roommates at TD Garden had an equally as strong performance in their opening game of the postseason. The Boston Bruins beat the the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-1, led by 2 goals from Jake DeBrusk and a standout performance in net by Jeremy Swayman. It was incredible to watch. I watched every minute of that game, and you know, I have to say, I didn't really know what to expect in game one from the Bruins. They didn't play amazing down the stretch in the last 3 or 4 games of the year, but they rose to the occasion against a Maple Leafs team that was skilled and ready to go. The first 2 minutes, the Maple Leafs were flying around, but when you had Johnny Beecher score 2 minutes and 26 seconds into the game, assisted by Boakfast, Jesper Boakfast and Pat Maroon, you knew it was going to be a good night for the Bruins. And the reason why is, it wasn't David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand linking up for that first goal. In fact, all of the goals were scored by what some may consider to be role players or non-superstars. I mean, Trent Frederick, Jake DeBrusk, Brandon Carlo were the other goal scorers. You had a rookie score your first goal in the playoffs. And a lot of the concern about the Bruins from an offensive standpoint was their face-off production in the regular season. You know, what were they going to be in the playoffs without Bergeron matched up against a team like Toronto with great centers? Well, ho-hum, the Bruins won 57% of face-offs on Saturday night. Similarly, when push came to shove in the second period and they began with a penalty kill, they killed off that penalty, a 4-on-3, despite having their 2 best defensemen, Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy, in the box. In fact, it was their 3rd best defenseman, Brandon Carlo, and their new addition, Andrew Peak, who weathered a lot of that responsibility to begin the second period. And Carlo himself was rewarded for it a few minutes later when he made the game 2-0 with a goal of his own, with an assist by DeBrusk and Lindholm. And speaking of DeBrusk, DeBrusk then scored 2 more in the second period. This is a guy, Jake DeBrusk, who a lot of people clamor about, but I've seen it in person. 2023 Winter Classic, scores 2 goals late in the third to give the Bruins the win. I've seen it as far back as the 2018 round against Toronto, or in 2021 against Washington when he got the first goal of that series as well. Jake DeBrusk shows up in the playoffs. He does. He shows up in the big games. That's what he did on Saturday night. And when things got shaky defensively for the Bruins, there was a couple posts. There was a really awkward play where Swayman got super lucky. There was another one where he batted the puck out of the air, one-on-one against Matthews. All these things. Jeremy Swayman stood strong last night. He did. And there's a lot of people who were clamoring as well for Linus Ullmark to start game one. And I'll be fair with my admission of bias here. I'm a Jake DeBrusk believer, always have been. And I'm a Jeremy Swayman believer, and I always have been. And like I don't think there's somebody out there who thinks Swayman shouldn't play at all in the playoffs. But there were a lot of people who said, oh, you have to give it to Ullmark because Ullmark's been playing better. You don't have to do anything. Jim Montgomery gets to roll with the hot hand. And clearly, he looked at the numbers, he looked at the tape, he looked at something, or he had a feeling. And that's why they went with Swayman in game one, and it paid dividends. Now, what are they going to do in game two is the question that everyone wants to talk about. Personally, at this point, I trust Jim Montgomery. What I don't want them to do is I don't want them to just do it for the sake of doing it. I want them to make the decision that they think is best, not one that they premeditated. Because I think in years past, especially last year, but even when Cassidy was the coach and there were goalie decisions to be made, the Bruins made the decision that they thought they needed to make, not the one that was best in the moment. Playoffs change on an instant. It's not something you can calculate. The momentum of a series, especially against a team that you know so well, like the Maple Leafs, it has to be taken grain by grain, step by step. And if he feels that Swayman's the hot hand and you got to stick with him, stick with him. But if he thinks that after 25 consecutive games of rotating the goalies, that they need to stick with it, stick with it. There's a reason why the Bruins were a top five team in the league this year, despite losing Hall, Bergeron, Krejci, Foligno, Garnett Hathaway, Bertuzzi, Dmitry Orlov, all those guys. In the offseason, they're right back where they were. In fact, I feel better after game one this year than I did last year. But I think no matter whether you're talking about the Celtics or the Bruins, you have to be careful not to overreact to one game. Look, I feel super confident in both these teams after one game. But at the end of the day, for lack of a better cliche, you have to take the playoffs one game at a time. That's what you got to do with the goalie situation. That's what you got to do with line combinations or who's starting or what have you in either sport. But especially the sport I know better, which is hockey, you can't just fly by the seat of your pants. But you also can't be married to an ideology and not be willing to deviate. So as the game went on last night, I felt more and more comfortable with the way that this Bruins matchup was going. Now, I expect a pushback from Toronto. I think you've got three games here in the next 6 days. I think it's entirely possible that the Bruins still end up back in Boston for game five with the series tied at two. I think Toronto's too good. I don't think the Bruins are going to run the table and win this in, you know, four or five games. I think it's going to be a six-game series at least. I still like the Bruins in the series, especially after last night. But I do expect a pushback from this Toronto Maple Leafs team because Andrew Raycroft said it in a podcast, Morning Brew. The release last night looked like posers. They looked like they were pretending to be a playoff team. But I don't expect that to last. They're too good. If William Nylander comes back or whatever's going on there, if that gets resolved, it's going to be a team that's still going to push. And you saw a push from them at the beginning of the third, but it was short-lived. But I think all in all, this Bruins team will respond well to those pushes by Toronto because they're so structurally sound. 5-on-5. What gets me worried is the special teams of the Bruins. And if they can stick this game 5-on-5, despite scoring two power play goals last night and killing off that great penalty, I don't want to play that way. I want to wear down the Maple Leafs 5-on-5. And the last thing I'll say about this particular series is it's all about matchups. And the Bruins were able to get the matchups they wanted. But eventually, the series will shift to Toronto on Wednesday and Saturday, and they'll have to make adjustments, considering that they won't have last change. But just some final things from the box score here. 103 total hits, 20 total penalty minutes, and 60 total shots. That's a testament to Swayman for stopping 5 out of 36. And that's a testament to how physical both teams were. 52-51 hits, respectively, for Toronto and Boston. It was a slugfest. It was awesome. And I would say that we're probably due for more of it. All right, last thing before I close up here. Other scores around the league. The Panthers held off the Lightning to win Game 1 of that series. The Rangers beat the Capitals 4-1 to win game one of that series. I'm recording before the Avalanche and Jets and the Predators and Canucks face off. But those two games are happening on Sunday night as well. All right, we'll be back later this week for an additional episode. But until then, I hope you all have a great start to your week. As always, you can follow us online at Homefield Pod and like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. But until then, my name is Will Highland, and you have been listening to a special episode of Homefield Advantage.